Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. From making your own cleaning products to composting, recycling, keeping chooks and reducing your carbon footprint, Maureen and her guests will inspire you with practical, everyday solutions that make a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Sustainable Dunedin City.
Welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard. Now, I'm experimenting with changing the format of my show just a little. At the end of the show, we're going to have some local Dunedin news from the Sustainable Dunedin City newsletter, plus a little quote to leave you perhaps with some food for thought for the remainder of the week. But first, on to today's show. It's been on Channel 39 News and in the newspapers. Riverton Environment Centre has until February 28th to raise $75,000 needed to buy the premises, after which point, if they're not successful, it will be put on the open market. If you've ever visited the Riverton Environment Centre, you're likely to be pretty concerned by this news, for this Environment Centre is a pleasure to visit. It's a fabulous resource of information and environmentally friendly products. It's a valuable community hub, and it's an umbrella organisation for several important environmental initiatives, such as the Open Orchard Project and the Heritage Harvest Festival. Its value is recognised nationally. It's the oldest continually operating environment centre in New Zealand and is rated the best environment centre in the country by the Ministry for Environment. On this show, recorded on the 13th of February, I'm going to be talking with Robin Guyton, Riverton Environment Centre Coordinator, about the centre's achievements, its benefits not only to Riverton but to Dunedin and New Zealand more widely, and how we can support it so the Riverton Environment Centre can buy its property and with that freedom of ownership make several exciting new developments. So thank you for coming on the show, Robin.
Thank you.
It's good to have you. You're in the studio. I'm Skyping in, just in case people are wondering. So, you've been involved with the Environment Centre right from its beginning, is that right?
That's correct. We had a organic garden group and a food co-op and a estuary care group, and so we needed a base for these three groups, and so we opened it up in 1996, and it's been going for 20 years now. And of course, once you have a building, other things start up: seed savers, children's clubs, orchard projects. So it was just kept on growing.
Yes. So so that's part of the value that you see. Actually, having a physical hub is really important, isn't it?
It's great because people call in. We're on the scenic route, and so it's not only New Zealanders and Southlanders. It's people from all around the world just pop in and really appreciate it. It's a very almost an icon now in Riverton. People come because of the Environment Centre, the organic food that's there, the information, the food forest, all different things. They know it's a one-stop shop for everything that's good, everything you need.
And because, Riverton is such a scenic place as well, so it's kind of ideally situated, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got the cafes, the museum and the art centre, and so the Environment Centre fits in really nicely with the local environment and the beautiful beaches and bush and estuary. So I think it's a great place to have it, a small town, but that's also a disadvantage because there's not many options for a base for us. That's why we're very keen to buy this one we're in at the moment.
Yes, because you're on the main street there, so you don't want to lose that prime spot.
Yeah, and I think it's nice having the window displays as well, so people who are walking past after hours. And it's very well supported locally by Southlanders. There's 70 voluntary hours going every week to keep it open, and we have 30 paid staff from Community Trust and Ministry for Environment funding. But basically, it's all the projects are primarily run by volunteers. It's just the admin stuff that is paid. So we're a pretty cool, vibrant group.
And in New Zealand now, environment centres, they're a bit of a New Zealand thing, aren't they? And there are some in other places, but New Zealand's well represented for having environment centres.
I think it's the name. I think there's other, community hubs all around the world like ours, but they're just, the Environment Centre name was sort of the one that we stuck with. I know there's some great places in Australia where they've got a building with organic educational farm around the building, and they provide food for shops and things like that. So this kind of thing is all around the world, and I think it's really nice that we're the one for Southern New Zealand, and the next one isn't. There's a very small one in Invercargill, but the next one isn't until Nelson. So there's only pretty much two in the whole of the South Island. So a lot of them go nationwide with our orchard project and the things that we do are very widespread, and so we're sort of serving way more than Southland.
Yeah, so tell me about the orchard project, because obviously, you know, you're actually, I guess, propagating, and these are heritage trees, aren't they?
Yeah, so we went around all the old orchards of Southland and saved the diversity of the fruit trees that are there, the lovely old 19th century orchards. And so the Environment Centre is a base for all that information. We have a fruit tree sale in August, and we are starting up heritage orchard parks throughout Southland. The first five are planted now, and they've got the early settler trees of the area in them, and we've got another seven to go. And so there'll be a network around Southland of 12 heritage orchard parks highlighting that diversity and the history of those ancestors. And also the fruit trees are going around all over Southland. People are flying from the North Island to pick them up. That's how valued they are around New Zealand. And so it's really nice to put these varieties back that you'll never get back again, that once they're lost, they're gone forever.
That's right, that's right. And so how far did you travel? Did you just collect trees just from the vicinity and propagate them, or have you travelled further up, you know, to as far as Dunedin, for example?
Yeah, so it's aspired up to coastal Otago. We're working with the Otago tree crops. We're sort of sharing information and signs and things to name them. And a couple of ladies, they did the whole of Catlins in South Otago area as well. And so we were the ones that got gathering all the information and keeping it going and being the database for all of that, and also keeping the resources. It's a lot of work.
And so what other projects or initiatives within the Environment Centre are you most proud of?
So I think generally just the fact that we're very holistic, so we do cover everything from we don't have plastic bags anymore. We promote shopping bags, and we have those lace curtains sewn into veggie bags and things. And so everything we do is like we do the best way we can. For the seed savings and new initiative that we want to do, there's no Southland seeds grown for Southlanders or Southern New Zealanders, so we like to start a little seed saving enterprise. And if we can secure our building, we can put a nice big workshop and storage space behind the building for that seed saving initiative, because for resilience, if there's a disaster or something happens and we rely on seeds from overseas, it's really nice for Southern New Zealanders to be able to have access their own carrots and parsnip and lettuce seeds are ideal to our conditions.
And it's also a really important skill for people to learn, isn't it? You know, how to collect their seed from different plants, you know, so that we can keep propagating our plants ourselves.
Yeah, so we got funding from the Lotteries Commission to do a feasibility study about should we buy a building, you know, is it viable, is it the best option for us? And we had a survey throughout New Zealand, and one third of the survey people replied from outside Southland, from the rest of New Zealand, and 85% said they'd really like to be involved and learn more about seed saving. So everything we put in our wish list, the feasibility study said, yes, this building is ideal for you. That's if we can buy it, earthquake strengthen it, insulate it, retrofit it, all for $150,000, and to build a building just simple like our one will cost $350,000. So cost effectiveness, it's really ideal. So we're really keen. The short time frame makes it mean that we can't apply for funds. So we're hoping that we're doing crowdfunding, and people can contact us directly to put money in their bank account as well. And we hope that everyone in New Zealand and Otago and Southland who visit us and like us can give a little bit. All that up to mean that we can secure the building.
Yeah, because you really just have a 1 month period. Well, less than that now, just until the 28th of February.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so and the awkward thing is that because it's a pre-1935 building, the banks don't lend on brick buildings pre-1935, but our one's a beautiful, strong triple brick building with big Remu beams, and it's so sound, and that's only going to cost about $30,000 to earthquake strengthen it. So it's a real shame that they don't see the big vision. And we do know another business in the town would like to buy it for a gift shop, so we know if it's on the open market we'll probably lose it.
Right, okay. So there is an urgency. So if people are listening up, and we'll give the details at the end, but basically people should, it's a Pledge Me campaign, and they can look for the link to the Help Secure the Future of the Riverton Environment Centre.
And other nice things that's happening too is the food co-op that's based in there has been going for 25 years now. And now I've got the second generation of children coming through. So the ones who are little tots and babies when we started off 25 years ago and now come back with their children. They shifted back to Riverton and they're coming to volunteer at the Environment Centre. So now I've got a nice little kids' corner in there with all nice wooden and eco toys and things. And often the children don't want to leave when their parents have finished shopping.
Yes, and you've got, it's quite a big premises as well, so there is plenty of room for different things.
And we've also got a mezzanine floor, which is used for storage now, so if we can put a workshop storage area at the back, we're going to turn that into a reading resource room. So we're going to change where the stairs go up and have a view of the estuary, so people can go up there and have a cup of herb tea and read and look through the information we have. So we've got a lovely library with every book on everything sustainable that comes on the bookshelves. Because the original organic group made a cleaners chart with natural cleaners and a moon calendar, and they sell them and all the proceeds go to the library. So we've got I think we've got 500 books there. Everything you need to know about beekeeping and building your own house or growing vegetables or whatever it is. It's great.
Mm. So you get quite a lot of foot traffic, isn't that right? And what are the kinds of things that people come in and ask about?
So we recognise as knowing pretty much everything, so we don't know everything, of course, but if people come and say, we'll know what that weed is or how to, what's this disease they've got in their plants, or they might want to know about how to replant their creek, restore their creek. Sometimes it's wildlife questions. Often it's health questions. We've got a child with allergies and struggling to get them to eat, and we've got all the information about whole foods and special diets and things. And so that every day is so different. We have between 50 and 100 every day come through all year round, and it's a very exciting, vibrant place, and there's usually at least 8 or 10 people there at any one time also talking to each other, so it's like a real hub.
Yeah, and you change the displays quite regularly, do you, onto different topics?
Yeah, so the window displays change every month, so it's a different one. At the moment we've got one on, we've got a community forest garden. We've got a quarter of an acre we just planted out 5 years ago, and it's now open to the public, and so we've got a big sign made. You've got funding for a sign for that, so we're just promoting that open day coming up later in the month. And the other one is about conscious living. It's just all about eating naturally, eating locally, not using using natural fibres and things, and so it just changes as the topic comes up. Yeah. Around the room itself, we have just specific ones just about the marine life or the freshwater life, just key information, what the fish are, the air, how to care for the area, but recycling, energy saving. And so each season, different things for the focus. So winter, the energy-saving one is the one that's looked at the most.
In the summer, it's so you think of the seasons, I guess, and think about what's topical for that time of year as well. What kind of things are you selling? Because you do sell different products too. You've got your recipes for different cleaners and things. What else do you sell?
So the Environment Society itself, we sell eco products unavailable elsewhere in Southland. So we sell the certified organic Dalton's potting mix range and compost. We sell the Bokashi compost kits. We've got the Niwashi garden tools, which are really cool. We've got sort of information charts and booklets on edible landscape planting and those kind of things. And so we've got a quite, very complicated accounting system, so we're trying to make our eco sales at the SES pay for the rent, power and phone, and so we're pretty much there, so we're independent for that. And the food co-op, they're quite separate. They've got their own bank account, and they're a not-for-profit shop run by volunteers, and that enables people to afford organic food. It's much more expensive than conventional food. I don't know why, but it's not subsidised, so that's a different one. And then each project's got its own little account. So the Orchard Project has a fruit tree sale, and that raises funds for the work setting up the heritage orchards and saving the varieties. And the Seed Saver's got its own little one that it does. So each one's got its own little loop. And so so we get funding for one group, it goes just to that group and not to running off the building, if you know what I mean.
Right. So, and do you also get funding from the Ministry for the Environment?
Yeah, we get funding for education projects that we do from them and some from Community Trust of Southland. And so we get enough to employ, we use it all for administration employment, so that's 30 hours employment, and that runs all the projects, the centre, the festivals. We have the Harvest Festival, the Earthcraft Festival, and we're heavily involved with the Eco Fest in Invercargill. And so we do children's education. We've got a Green Fingers Seed Pack Garden Club. We've got a Nature Discoverers Club after school, and we have school groups and kindergartens come to visit the Riverton ecosystems, and we also go out to schools on request to do educational stuff. And so we've got lots that we do.
Absolutely. And so your volunteers need to be quite switched on, don't they, in terms of dealing with all of these different issues?
Yeah, that's correct. It's quite daunting when people first come, but it's nice you've got different
people. And I'm sure they learn a lot. They learn so much, you know, so it would be a great volunteer position to have, actually.
Yeah, they really enjoy coming, and that's what they say. They learn so much and meet such nice people. And they also, it's really lovely, people come in and they always have something nice to say about the centre, how much they love it, or what a wonderful place it is and things. And so people are proud to be involved. It's like a very warm, welcoming place. It's really nice. And we like the fact it's got, you know, the lovely old architecture. It's sort of like we would like to keep the best of all the old traditions alive and also embrace all the new ideas, you know, for the future. And I think it's really nice to have a lovely old sound 1908 building as our, you know, as our platform. It's really got atmosphere.
And it's nice and bright, you know, it's not a dark building, so...
Yeah, that's great, that's right, but, you know, it's near the estuary and things, and so I think...
Yeah.
It feels like home to us, and we can't imagine building a new building, which is the only other choice, really, so we don't want to have that hassle and that expense. We're really just happy to you know, make where we are even better.
Yeah. Why do you think the Environment Centre is so successful? I do believe that individuals and small groups of people can really have a big, big impact, and they're really critical in terms of keeping things going. I'd have to say it. You're a big part of the success, Robin, of the centre.
Yeah, I've got a real passion for what we stand for. Just I think that people need to have a choice, and you don't all have to go exactly what the tells you that buy on TV and those kind of things. And I think there's not many options to say other choices. So I'm really proud to be part of a group that says, oh, you can use this instead, or you can, you know, avoid this product but have this one. It's really nice to give people options. And for us, we've got quite a big committee. We've got 14 on our committee, but we're really functional. Like if someone has a really good idea, and we usually say, oh, great, try it out, see if it works. We don't have to have subcommittee meetings and get approval and think of all the, you know, things that could go wrong. We always stay positive and think, well, it's worth a try. Even having the Environment Centre in the first place, the building came up for, I just offered $1,000 rent. It was the old library building in Riverton. And they said yes. And I said, well, let's just try it for a year, or we can lose $1,000. And, you know, and 20 years later, we're still here. And so I think that's the thing, that sometimes a lot of people are a bit nervous about doing things just on their own. But when you're with a group and people encourage you, say, oh, that's a good idea, let's try doing this. And they feel supported and they do it. And it's like, you know, anything can go wrong, so it might not work, you know, as long as you do it wisely and with, you know, a lot of good energy, people want to be part of it and say, hey, this is fun, you know. And so that's
great.
A positive.
That sounds really awesome. Mm. Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, so everybody in the group, you know, feels they can do these things, and even if it didn't go wrong, it's not the end of the world, you know.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
So do something different.
Anyone's got different things they bring, so every volunteer, volunteers are wonderful craftspeople, others are really, you know, love the library, and everyone's got something to bring, and they all get something else out of it, so it's really nice to be inclusive. And, you know, sometimes we have people who are quite shy, they come and start volunteering, it's lovely to see them come out of the shell and go away and apply for a job and get it, you know. And so we're not only serving a role promoting environmental things, but we're also building community by letting people come along, have a go, they volunteer, they might be a new migrant to Southland, and with our nice, warm, friendly people, they feel relaxed and they practice English and then get confidence to move out into the wider world. And so it's a social community thing as well as the environment thing that we're building there.
That's great. So you've got this Pledge Me campaign, and I looked on the website, and there's also rewards for people if they put in different pledge amounts.
Yes, it's quite fun. So we've got things like Devonshire Tea in the Forest Garden and things, and it's quite fun to have those kind of things. Just makes it a little bit more real than just only, you know, pledging money. And we've also got a Give a Little page on our website and one called Indiegogo, which is international. And we know so many international travellers have been through Riverton as woofers, willing workers on organic farms, and also tourists travelling around. And so for the last 10 days, we're going to be sending that through the international media and hoping that some people who appreciate us and got inspired will give a little bit as well. So that one changes your currency into New Zealand, if you know what I mean. So it's a bit easier. And
that's great. Yeah, and so, do you have email addresses of any of, you know, the people, I guess, who've come through or anything like
that? Yes, we have, yeah. So we're going to do just say, well, remember when you were here and, you know, we need help. And it's also lovely to know that people have passed through Riverton have also got their own projects. We hear about them as well. So there's people who have got different urban gardening projects going, or they've got an education centre. And so people don't just come and look. They often get so inspired they go away and do something in their own community. So it's nice to hear back that as well. There's a lot of, you know, learning and sharing. So hopefully they want to, you know, share a little back to us now.
Yes, that would be great. Yes, so the urgency is on, please, before the 28th of February, if people can go onto the internet and look up, I guess, would you say to go on to the pledgeme.co.nz would be the best thing for people to do?
Yeah, that's the best one, yeah. Or they can, if they want to, that's one platform. We're also getting some directly through our bank account as well, so that's whatever suits people the best. So they can contact the Environment Centre. The phone number there is 2348717, and the email address is office@scs.org.nz. And if everyone gives a little bit, we'll get there. Be great.
Yes, great, great. And so what's coming up? I saw that you've got the Heritage Harvest Festival in March, is that right?
Yeah, the 26th of March, and it's our 9th festival, I think. And every year it just gets better and bigger and more wonderful. And it's really lovely. We've got a lot of people from Otago who come down every year now and help with the organisation. So it's really lovely. I think we've got about 8 people come down for the whole weekend from Dunedin, so it's so nice to be a group thing, because when it first started, it was just our own committee, and when it grew too big, we thought, how are we going to do this? And then suddenly, all these people came and said, I'm here for the weekend to help, and it's like, yay. So it's really wonderful to be an Otago Southland project, with all those people volunteering, and we've got Peter Langland is coming and doing a foraging talk about seaweeds and things, and we've got a guy coming over from the Northern Fruit Group in England. He's talking about, he runs a heritage fruit project over there. He's come and share things with us down here. We've also, there's other two big people coming, key people this year. I just can't think of it off the top of my head, but yeah.
And so can people find out about that on the website, a bit more about that?
Yes, they can, yep. And so, and if people are members, they can join up with the society. They get, you know, the first access to workshops and 10% off them as well. We have 40 workshops over the weekend on all different self-sufficiency style activities, yeah. And displays.
Fantastic.
And if you want to start collecting your apples for the apple press, we have an apple press going all weekend as well. You can take it home and make juice or cider out of it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, all the very best, and let's hope, you know, we reach that goal, 75,000.
Yeah. It's actually now 73, because a lawyer's offered to be a pro bono lawyer for us.
That's good.
Yeah, so it's very exciting. So we're about a third of the way there, and if we can get really close to it, we can do some low interest loans from committee members and stuff like that. You know, we've got some like at the last minute, let's do this. Yeah, plan
yes.
going. Yeah, just to top it up. So,
good idea.
Yeah.
Yep. Great. Okay. Well, thank you, Robin, anyway, so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
And all the best.
Cool.
Okay. And thank you for listening. I'm Maureen Howard, and my guest today was Robin Guyton. We were talking about the Riverton Environment Centre and the need, well, the wonderful things about this centre and how important it is, and if people can please help and support it to help the centre keep its premises. This is Eco Living in Action, and we're on every Thursday, 2:30 to 3 p.m., and repeated on Mondays, 8:30 to 9 a.m. If you'd like to listen to this program again, you can download it as a podcast from Otago Access Radio's website at oar.org.nz. Sustainable Dunedin City is our host or our supporter, sorry, for Eco Living in Action, and they put out a regular e-newsletter letting us know about sustainability happenings in Dunedin. One of the things that is coming up is on the 21st and 22nd of February, so that's Tuesday and Wednesday, there's going to be a short course, Creating Living Buildings. If you'd like to find out more about that, you can go on to the Otago Polytechnic website. You do need to register, and there are some fees. And so we'll just finish with a little quote. And I really like this quote. I got it actually from one of the Riverton Environment Centre's newsletters. It's by R. Buckminster Fuller, who was an American environmentalist, architect and inventor. "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." Next week on Eco Living in Action, I'll chat with another forward-thinking person, Philip Allen, who is a permaculture forest farmer who's producing sustainably grown timber in Northern Ireland, where I am at the moment. So I hope you can tune in, and I'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Sustainable Dunedin City aims to facilitate a positive, secure and sustainable future for Dunedin. We're local people interested in issues of climate change, declining energy security and sustainability. Is they affect our city? Sustainable Dunedin City produces a regular online newsletter of sustainability-related events, hosts regular green drink sessions and organises the Big Green Challenge. For more information or to join, go to www.sustainabledunedincity.org.nz.
And wine, that's when you will hear our axes ring. The teamster all too soon he moves on in. The logs we fall to the line he clears away. 8 horses 4 by 2 and the two-wheeled wooden rim. The axle groans at least 6 times a day. Keep them logs rolling, boys, to the milky boys, keep them logs rolling down. For we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. The mill train sweats and strains most all day. Down 20 miles of track to feed the mill. Stoker keeps the firebox full with the offcuts from the day, so that later on she'll make that 3-mile hill. The mill first does strip and bark the logs, and sends them to the benchman standing by. He slips the mill saw through, never mind what slips and pokes. It's then that you'll see the chips and the sawdust fly. Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the milky boys. Keep them logs rolling down. For we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets.